Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. The message you are about to hear is brought to you by African Mission Tape Ministry of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Redemption Camp. God bless you as you listen in Jesus' name.
Eternal Rock of Ages, the Ancient of Days, the Lion of Judah, the I Am that I Am, the Way, the Truth, and the Life, we worship you. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, we glorify your name. There's no one like you. All power belongs to you. Glory be to your holy name. Father, accept our thanks in Jesus' name. We thank you for yesterday. We thank you for the soul saved. We thank you for the problem solved. We thank you for the lions torn to pieces. We thank you for the victories given. Please accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Daddy, we are here again today. We're expecting something special, something wonderful, something miraculous, something spectacular, something great, something glorious. Father, let it be so in Jesus' name. Glorify your name. Put the devil to shame. And do us good. At the end of it all, let us be able to praise you. Thank you, Father. For we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. I give the Lord a big hand. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let somebody now shout hallelujah. I didn't ask you to sit down yet. All I ask you to do is shout hallelujah. Yesterday we shared briefly about how the Holy Spirit is the comforter. And we said that the best way to comfort is to remove that which is causing sorrow. If I'm hungry, the best way to comfort me is to give me food. If I'm naked, the best way to comfort me, of course, is to give me clothes. And if I'm single, I believe the best way to comfort me is to provide me with a partner. I didn't hear amen to that one. And of course, if I'm barren, the best way to comfort me is to give me children. I'm just telling you something about what God will do here tonight. And if I'm separated from my wife or husband, the best way to comfort me is to reunite us. Amen. Amen. As there are some people here who know prophecy when they hear one. Today we want to discuss the Holy Spirit and family problems. The Holy Spirit and family problems. If you check in the scriptures, you will find that the first blessing ever that God pronounced was pronounced on the family. Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. Genesis 1, 27 and 28. The Bible says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them." God blessed what? He blessed them. Blessed the husband and wife. "And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply." Be fruitful and multiply. So I have good news for all of you who are trusting God for children. That original blessing will come on you today in Jesus' name. But then the first curse that was also pronounced on the human being was also pronounced on the family. If you look at Genesis chapter 3, and you read from verse 16 to 19, Genesis 3, 16 to 19, the Bible says, "Unto the woman he said," that is God said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Poor ground. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall he bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. See, the first cause again was on the human race. God said, well, I have already said increase and multiply, and I can't change my word. So you will increase, you will multiply, you will be pregnant, you will bring forth children. He said, but because you have annoyed me, instead of the baby coming out easily like a rabbit, you will sweat. And people are still sweating today. And then he turned to the husband and said, sir, I had thought that you would just be walking through this garden, enjoying yourself, doing a little work here, a little work there, and then doing little and eating much. But now, you will do much, and you eat little. And that cause is still ringing to today. Many, many of us can bear witness to that. We've been working for years, sweating like nobody's business. And up to today, if you ask many of us, where is the fruit? There's nothing to show for it. But then, that brings us to the Holy Ghost. You see, blessings bring joy. As soon as I pronounce the blessing that the barren will conceive, now I'm sure we all rejoice. But as soon as I began to talk about curses, we all became subdued because curses bring sorrow. That's where the comforter comes in. The comforter changes curses to blessings. So every curse that is upon you today will become blessings in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit, in an attempt or in his work to bring, to change sorrow to joy, will automatically change barrenness to fruitfulness. He has a supernatural way of removing whatever is causing the obstacle. Because every man, every woman that God made, when he made them originally, he made them perfect. And then, of course, the enemy stepped in and messed things up. But the same God who made us originally has the ability to repair. And what cannot be repaired, he can replace. As I've told you that before, that he has spare parts in heaven. And if there is any part of your body that is not working correctly, God will change that part today in Jesus' name. Amen. And when I say we change parts, I mean any part. Because a lot of problems are caused by, well, they say the woman has blocked tubes, or some don't even have tubes at all. Some have lost their ovaries. Some womb have been damaged during abortion before we met Christ. Some, they say, they have low sperm count. Some, they say, the blood is AS, another blood is SS. Take everything to Jesus today. Amen. That which cannot be repaired shall be replaced in Jesus' name. Amen. If you receive that, say amen loud and clear. The Almighty God can bring dead children back to life. And when I say dead children, it could be children that are dead physically. We have several examples in the Bible. Yeah, there had always been Holy Ghost carriers. Like Jesus was here, carrying the Holy Spirit. Before he was here, there were people like Elijah. He was an Holy Ghost carrier. And you remember the story when the son of the widow he was staying with died. He took the child, took it to the upper room, and spread himself on the child so that the anointing on him could flow to the child and said, God, this child must come back to life. Thank God the child came back to life. In the case of Elisha, you know the story also. He was staying with a woman who invited him in, fed him very well, built a house for him. And then after some time he said, this woman has been so good to us. Let's give her something. So he called the woman, what do you need? The woman said, I need nothing. I'm okay. 100% fine. Because she was a great woman, according to the word of God. Rich, powerful, famous. So Elisha said, what then do I do? God said, well, keep on making research. This woman needs something. After a little research, he discovered that the woman was barren. And the man of God stood like I'm standing before you today and prophesied. He said, woman, 9 months from now, you have a baby boy. Who is the woman receiving that tonight? Shout hallelujah. And the woman didn't even believe. I mean, the woman simply said, man of God, if you enjoy the food that I've been giving you, just say thank you and go. Don't deceive me. She said, I have waited long enough for that. I've brushed that aside. I mean, God has been good in several other ways. So this one is, just forget it. And the man of God said, whether you believe it or not, now it's too late. Because the decree has gone out. For all of you who are here today trusting God for children, the decree has gone out. Amen. And it will not return to the Lord void. Amen. Anyway, the baby was born. There was plenty of money, so they looked after the baby very well. The baby was just growing like a balloon. And all of a sudden, the devil came in again and said, well, woman, now you had known what is called the fullness of joy. Let me give you the fullness of sorrow. Came in and snatched that child. But thank God for women, particularly the stubborn ones. You know, if they were stubborn before they got born again, they can be more stubborn after. Stubbornly good. And the woman says, death, this is one baby you are going to vomit. I mean, the husband said, woman, what's wrong? Why do you want to go and see the man of God? She said, all is well. Tell the fellow next to you, all is well with me now. And of course, by the end of the day, all was well. Because she refused to let go. And today, many of us that had lost one thing or the other to the enemy, we're going to get them back in Jesus' name. But then when we talk about dead children, we're not only talking about physically dead children. There are some children that are alive, but yet they are dead in some areas. Like children who are dead upstairs. Always getting zero. Bringing sorrow to the parents. I know how many parents come asking me to pray for their children. So children who are here today, congratulations. Because the Holy Spirit is going to touch your brains. I remember the story of one young fellow, the son of two professors. Now, if you are the son of two professors, automatically you should be a professor yourself. But this boy was always last in the class. If they are 30 in the class, when they bring the result, his position will be 38th. Let them increase the number of people in the class to 36. When the result comes, it will be... I mean, the parents tried everything they could. They employed private teachers. They used every technique they knew. It was always last. Finally, they came. And the Almighty God touched that brain. And the boy went back to class. The following time, the result, he was first. So the teacher said, no, this must have been, there must have been collusion somewhere. I mean, it is impossible. It's not you who can ever, I mean, even if you came second from the last, we'll consider that a miracle. So they asked the poor boy to take the exam again in the presence of the teachers, and he came first and got even better marks than before. So if the brains of your children are dead, you can claim new ones for them today. Amen. Even if they are not here, you can stand in the gap for them. Amen. Of course, there are other areas. We have children who are dead spiritually. That means no matter how hard you try, they don't want to hear anything about Jesus Christ. But today, God is going to deal with that also. Amen. Because today is family day. Amen. May I remember the story of a young lady? She was the terror of the family. That's how the parents described her. Anybody, from papa to any of her sisters and brothers, you cross her path, you are in for trouble. She could do anything, break bones, smash bottles on people's head. She was the terror of the family. And then God moved in, saved her soul. And through her now, every member of the family had come to Jesus Christ. So God can do the same thing. Maybe your own son or daughter is not that kind of terror. And so if God can do that one to that person, he can do your own also. But now the Holy Spirit does more than solve these problems that I've mentioned. He solves problems that originate from the family. You know, there are many of us today who are where we are because of some people in our family who didn't like us, or people who didn't like our father or mother. There are many of us today who are where we are because of some underlying problems that arose from our place of birth. I mean, I've seen people before getting married, and the wife is rejoicing because she's going to her husband's house, and one wicked woman in the family will say, keep on laughing, you will soon come back. And she will go, and she will come back. Or some wife coming in and everybody's rejoicing, and somebody say, so Lagbaja is getting married. That's good. We'll see how many children you will have. I've seen this thing happen before. I mean, one or two had happened very close to me, so I know what I'm talking about. I know one member of my family. They were dancing, rejoicing on the seventh day of the marriage, and I didn't know what happened, but somehow the woman, very close door, got offended. And she said, that's all right. You do that to me, I will see how many of the children you bear will live. That woman gave birth 11 times. Only three of them survived. And the three survived only after she came to know Jesus Christ. So I'm talking about problems, attacks that originate from the family. And we will take our text for today's discussion, again using our friend Samson as our illustration, from Judges chapter 15. Judges 15. And we will read first from verse 9 to 13. Judges 15 from verse 9 to 13. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why are ye come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he has done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah. 3,000 men of where? Not of Philistine. of Judah went to the top of Rock Etam and said to Samson, Knowest thou not that the Philistines are ruler over us? What is it that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, As they did unto me, so have I done unto them. And they said unto him, We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, Swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves. And they spake unto him, saying, No, but we will bind thee fast, and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords, and brought him up from the rock. Who are the people who bound Samson? His own people. His relatives. He told them, we will bind you and hand you over to the enemy. They must be very good relatives. There are many, many of us like that. Many of us have not been killed. The reason we have not been killed, I will tell you in a moment. But many of us have been handed over to the enemy by our own people. Our own flesh, our own blood. Because Jesus Christ said it in Matthew chapter 10, verse 36. Matthew 10, verse 36. The Lord said, He said, And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. The elders have a saying. They say, if the death inside does not kill you, the death from outside cannot kill you. Some of us are looking outside for the enemy. The enemy is inside. But God will take care of them today in Jesus' name. And there are several examples we could give you. There are many of us who are bound by covenants that were reached on our behalf without our knowing. One brother came to me the other day, he said he's born again and he wasn't sure whether he should go for deliverance or not. I said, Are you born in Nigeria? He said, Yes. I said, You better move fast. he was even a Yoruba boy. And I know, at least for people of my age, I don't know of those of you who are younger, maybe God will be more merciful on you. People of my age and older, when you are born, they take you to the Ifaoreku. And they put your feet on the Ifaoreku, they say they want to find out your future. And then when problems start now, and you begin to wonder, if I will say, I was sitting down at home when they brought you to dedicate to me. You are my property. Did I ask them to bring you? There are several other covenants like that have been reached on our behalf and is causing problem. But those covenants will be destroyed today in Jesus' name. Amen. I was sharing at the last Holy Ghost service in Lagos of a woman who came and said, I don't know what I'm going to do. All my daughters, I can't remember how many of them now, none of them even got a boy to come and say, will you marry me? Not one. So I said, well, in that case, let us pray. And as I was about to pray, the Holy Spirit said, don't pray. Ask her what she's done with the daughters. So I said, Mama, God said, what have you done with the daughters? He said, what do you mean? I'm not God. I don't live with you. I don't know you before you came. But my God, and I know his voice, said, don't pray, ask her. What is it you've done with your daughters? And she said, it is a custom in our house that all our daughters must first of all marry Ifa. If they are already married to Ifa Oriku, then why are you looking for another husband? Oh, Ifa was only defending his property. And that's all. So we prayed and God destroyed the foul oracle. And now all the daughters are married. Whatever may be the covenant that anybody entered into on your behalf that is causing the problem in your life, the fire of the Holy Spirit will consume today in Jesus' name. And then, of course, there are people who brought curses upon their families. There was a family, for example, that was cursed. I don't know, I can't remember now exactly, it's years ago of what happened. But something happened, and then one man pronounced a curse on the family and said, every woman here will die after the first child. So, and the curse started working. Grandmother gave birth to one child, Mama. After that, she died. Mama gave birth to one daughter. After that, she died. Now the daughter gave birth to one daughter. And got born again. And then she became pregnant the second time. And suddenly remembered that, wait a minute, too. Grandmother had only one daughter, which is Mama. Mama had only one daughter, which is me. Now I've had one daughter, and I'm pregnant now. I hope that is not on the way. And she came. Thank God for Jesus. And we prayed. And now she has more than one daughter, to the glory of God. And you see, certain things are happening. When you study it, you notice, hey, wait a minute, there is a regularity here. A strange regularity. You check very well. It is because there is something happening up there. There's a curse running downstream. But thank God for the Holy Spirit. Because he's a comforter, he can change curses to blessings. Amen. And that's what he will do for you today in Jesus' name. Amen. And I don't like people who don't say amen very well. Amen. Not to talk of simpler cases that we know, like hereditary diseases. Like some of us, we are where we are today because we had very rocky starts. Parents who are extremely poor. Some of us would have gone to the best of schools. Some of us would probably be far, far higher than we are today, if only there had been somebody who could pay the school fees. But they were not there. We had a problem flowing down the family line. Some people, for example, father was very poor, so son would end up as a gatekeeper, and grandson will end up as messenger, and so on and so forth. But that will change tonight. Yeah. Whether you say amen or not, it's going to happen. Yeah. But then there could be even direct attacks. Like in the case of Samson here. I mean, the family came purposely to bind their own champion. Samson was the champion. He was the best in the family. They came with the intention of handing him over to the enemy. It's happened before again and again and again. I mean, I remember very, very vividly in my own compound, one woman who gave birth to a child, after the naming ceremony, all of a sudden, she became sick. And the doctors could not diagnose what was wrong with her. They did everything they knew. This woman just was getting closer and closer to death. Of course, at that time, I mean, there was nobody, no prophet around. So they went to the Babalawo, and the Babalawo said, go and ask your mother. She's angry with you. So this woman went back to the mama and said, well, I'm sorry, I don't know what I've done wrong. Could you tell me so I can put things right? I don't want to die. And she's her firstborn. This was her first grandchild. You would think that she would be happy. She said, well, on the day you are naming the child, you killed a chicken. And then you threw the intestines away when I was waiting to receive it. Intestine of a chicken. The guest, I threw it in a way because I thought nobody would be interested. Well, okay, Mama. If I kill another chicken and give you the intestine, will I be okay? She said yes. Now, don't blame the old woman. The old woman was moving according to a force that was controlling her. It was a force inside her that wanted intestine. So the poor girl went and bought, I can't remember now, whether 3 or 4 chicken. Killed all of them. Handed over all the intestines. I said, can you have this? And all I want are the intestines. And she became well. Oh, some of these things you have not experienced. But I'm sharing this with you tonight because I believe God wants to do a special work here today. But I'm sure you must have heard the testimony of one fellow who was going abroad. The first fellow in the family who was going abroad to study. And she threw a party because, I mean, it was a great thing in those days to go abroad to study. I'm sure it's still a great thing today. So everybody was eating and drinking and enjoying. And one member of the family said, So the son of so-and-so is going abroad to study. All right, let's give him something to carry. So I gave him something to carry. Soon as he arrived over there, inside in his stomach, there was a little pain that started, like a joke. And then the fire started getting bigger and bigger, just in one little spot. And abroad, I mean, he had all the medical facilities. They took every examination they could. Everything was normal. But the pain was there. And they told him, you are okay, sir. The flesh is fine. The blood is pure. He said, but I'm not a child. Here is where the fire is burning. If I have the power to take it out. What? He suffered throughout. Finished his studies. Got his PhD. Came back. Became a lecturer at Abu. And the fire kept on burning. Until somebody told him and said, there is a place where you should go. Remember very well, we were having a program like this in Ibadan. And he traveled from Zaria. And you know the devil is so bad. As soon as the devil knew he was going for his deliverance, he did everything to block his way. From Zaria to Ibadan, it took him 4 days. He came on the very last day of the program. And he came, we prayed just a simple prayer, and we asked him to sit down and listen to the message. And as the message was going on, suddenly the lecturer jumped over and started shouting, "It's gone! It's gone!" You know, when God performs a miracle for you, you forget who you are. It is when you don't have a miracle, you can't shout hallelujah. Now, many of you want to shout before the miracle comes, anyway. So there could be direct attacks. Some of you might not even be aware where the problem is coming from. Many of you have been struggling so hard. Like I used to say, you've been walking like an elephant and eating like a rat. Many a times you go up and then you come down. And you just wonder, what's happening? What's my problem? Well, God has come down to Abuja today to take care of that for you in Jesus' name. Now, but there's something beautiful about this story, and that is the fact that they bound Samson, but they didn't kill him. They bound him, but they didn't kill him. Now, many of us who have been bound by enemies, bound by members of our families, but somehow we are still alive. Why? Why is it that they did not kill him? Because the life of Samson was not in the hand of any man. Was in the hand of God. And believe me honestly, your life is in the hand of your maker. Amen. Your future is going to be determined by only 2 people, God and you. Your future from tonight onward is no longer in the hand of the enemy, it's no longer in the hand of the witches or wizards, it's now in the hand of the Holy Spirit and you. So you can boldly say, like David said in Psalm 27 verse 1, Psalm 27 verse 1, he said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Tell the fellow next to you, say, "I'm not afraid anymore." Say it if you really believe it. Hallelujah. You see, there is a limit to which the enemy can go in your life. Because like I told you yesterday, by the way, how many of you were not here yesterday? You were not here yesterday. Really? Praise the Lord. How many of us were here yesterday then? Okay. Praise the Lord. Well, for the benefit of those who were not here yesterday then, I told you that you are special. If you are not special, you will not be here. I can guarantee that one. And because you are special, because God has a purpose for your life, that's why God has kept the enemy within bounds. There's a limit that God has set for the enemies, limit beyond which they can never go. At least until this day. Today now, God is going to give you an opportunity to take a decision that we make sure from now on, the enemy will see you and run. If you don't take that decision, then it's now up to you. You see, when the devil came and said to God, "Do you see Job?" I mean, God said, "Do you see Job, a righteous man? He feareth God, he escheweth evil." The devil said, "Yes. Why should he not fear God? Haven't you blessed him? Have you not made him special?" I know every day God is reporting me to, the devil is reporting me to God. And he's reporting you too. But thank God for Jesus Christ. See, the devil said, "Give me permission." And that's interesting. He said what? "Give me permission. Let me touch him. Let me touch all the things he has." Without permission, the devil cannot do anything. And God said, "All right, permission granted, but don't touch his life." In other words, you can go this far, you cannot go further. The devil tried everything with Job, but he couldn't touch his life. Because as long as there is life, there is hope. As long as you are still alive, and you are alive today, amen? There is hope. God is still going to surprise you. Now, when they brought Samson to the enemy camp, bound by his own people, what did the enemy do? Judges 15, verse 14. Judges 15, verse 14. "And when he came unto Lehi," that is bound completely, "the Philistines shouted against him." The Philistines did what? They shouted. They rejoiced. We've got to pray. Finally, the champion of Israel, the champion of Judah, is in our hands. They shouted for joy. Now, many of us right now, the enemies are already laughing. They're already shouting for joy. They're already saying, "We got him." To many of us, the enemy are already saying, "Where is your God?" I have good news for you. God will answer them today. Yeah. I say God will answer them today. Yeah. They shouted. They were rejoicing because they left God out of their calculations. Again and again it has happened, particularly in the lives of some of us Christians. Something happened, something unexpected. And if you search very closely, the devil that is causing the trouble is inside. And then the enemy will begin to rejoice and say, "Every day, Bible, Bible. Where is the result now?" Well, you turn to Psalm 2. I'm going to read verse 1 to 5. Psalm 2, verse 1 to 5. It says, "Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us.' He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in the reason. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. The Almighty God is going to laugh at your enemies today. And do you know that it is he who laughs last? That laughs best. I've told you this story before. At least some of you know this story, a true story. Some people who could even bear witness present here today. There was this young lady, happily married, I mean, just married into the family. She wasn't aware that the mother-in-law didn't like the marriage. And one day, mother-in-law was returning from market, and she went to receive Mama. Hey, Mama, welcome. How now? And Mama put down her load and took a loaf of bread and said, take, eat, and use it to block your womb. Direct attack. And the girl was, did I hear correctly? Mama, what did you say? No. I mean, I was just joking with you. Poor girl. Didn't know what to do. She went ahead and ate the bread. From the day she ate the bread, she stopped menstruating. And then, every day is the day for the thief. One day is for the owner. And in every man's life, there is always a day like today.
Amen.
A day that you will never forget.
Amen.
Well, they invited us to come and conduct a program in the town where this woman was. We went. And this woman, unlike many people, said, the man of God is coming to town. This program is going to hold in our town. This is my day. So she started fasting and praying and getting herself ready. You know, I told you yesterday, there are always two categories of people in a meeting like this. Those who receive miracles and those who come to watch. She was determined, this is my time. How many of you believe that tonight is your night? Are you really sure? Then shout hallelujah. So in one of the days of the meetings, it was evening time, afternoon, just before the meeting, and she said, I want to rest a little so that I will be strong when it is time for the program. That my amen will ring, my hallelujah will sound, God will know that I came for something, not a joke. And she slept off, and she had a dream. And some men dressed like doctors came in with one big bowl, and then they laid her on the bed and operated on her.
This message is concluded on the other side of this tape.
After a lot of drawing, they saw something at the end of the rope that looked like a loaf of bread, black as anything. They put everything in the calabash, sewed up normal, naturally like the doctors would do, and picked up something and left. She woke up with a start. And do you know what? Even by the time she woke up, she was already menstruating. Whatever the enemy has used to block your way, the Holy Spirit will remove today in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh yes. Well, that's somebody receiving a miracle. Now, what happened when the enemy decides to laugh, particularly at the anointed of God? For a child of God, born again, serving him, living in obedience. And maybe for one reason or the other, you have a little misfortune, and the enemy dares laugh. Then you can begin to rejoice. Because then, more than ever before, the Holy Spirit will respond. Now let's look at it. Judges 15. Let's continue to read from verse 14 to 19. Let's read all that together. And then we'll look at it very quickly. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Everybody say mightily.
Mightily.
Say the Holy Spirit will come upon me mightily tonight. And the coals that were upon his arms became as flask that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass, have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and called that place Ramah Lehi. And he was sore at last, and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof En Haklor. That's a big name. I mean, thank God for names like Ifewara and Elisha. They are easier to pronounce, which is in Lehi unto this day. Even Abuja is easier to pronounce than some of these. Whenever the enemy begins to laugh at you, brother, sister, it means your problem is about to end. The moment they begin to come to you and say, where is this your God? Then God is about to answer. Because if there's anything that God does not like at all, it is to be ridiculed by the enemy. He doesn't like it at all. It doesn't even matter who you are. He will defend his name. I've said it again and again. Many a times you see some evangelists, they preach in the open, and a lot of miracles happen. And you look at the life of the evangelist himself, he doesn't line up with the word of God. And you say, this man is not living the kind of life that I expect. Why are miracles happening? Miracles are not happening because of him. They're happening because of the name of Jesus. See, when you call the name of Jesus in public, he has to defend his name. So whether you believe I am a holy man of God or not, doesn't even matter tonight. We are going to call the name of Jesus, and he will honor his name. I say he will honor his name. Whether because of me or because of you, he will honor his name. The Holy Spirit came mightily upon Samson. The fire of the Almighty God flooded his entire being, so that even his sweat became fire. The rope that bound him just broke to pieces. I have seen the Almighty God overwhelm people with his Holy Spirit before. And it gives me great pleasure to tell you he has set aside tonight for that kind of experience. Now, I know many of us have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we make a mistake in thinking that there is only one baptism in the Holy Spirit. But there are many. You study the scriptures very well, you will find that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. After that, when they arrested the apostles for healing the lame man, and finally they released them and they came together and they prayed, the Bible said the Holy Spirit again filled the house where they were, and they were all again filled with the Holy Spirit. And the place where they were shook. I have seen, I have experienced, by the special grace of God, several baptisms in the Holy Spirit. I shared with some people of recent of something that happened in Tulsa in 1979. We were praying on the top floor of Mayo Hotel. Anybody who has been to Tulsa will know Mayo Hotel is one tall building, far, far taller than Sheraton. We were in the topmost floor. We were in the room, six of us. My father and the Lord, who's gone to be with the Lord now, myself, and four others. It was a special day. It was the day he told me I would be succeeding him. So it was not an ordinary day. And so we were praying. And the Holy Spirit flooded the place. Very soon, the engineer of the hotel came knocking at the door. When we opened the door to him, he said, "What kind of instrument are you playing?" We said, "Instrument?" He said, "Yes." "We're not playing any instrument." He said, "No, you are playing one funny kind of instrument." He said, "Because the very foundation of the hotel is shaking. And we have traced the source of the vibration to this room." We said, "We are not playing anything." He said, "Let me search." So we moved for him. He looked under the bed. He looked everywhere. He couldn't believe. We said, "We were just praying." He shook his head and left. Now I'm expecting God to do that here tonight. Because we are going to pray. I'm going to pray. The power of the Almighty God is going to come down. Because it has to. Some of us have suffered enough. We can't continue like this. We can't be calling the name of the Almighty God and yet continue to be bound by rotting people like witches and wizards. How long are we going to suffer? I mean, the Almighty God said to Abraham, "If I find 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, I will spare the city." How many righteous people are in Nigeria? And yet we are still suffering. Economy is getting worse by the day. No, things must change. Amen. I didn't hear your amen. Amen. Because our God is a consuming fire, when the fire flooded the beams of Samson, his own sweat became fire. And the rope that bound him just burnt off. And then there came upon him a supernatural energy, the kind that it's difficult to explain. And he got the jawbone of an ass. I don't know what is going to be the jawbone of an ass in your own hand today. It might be your Bible. How many of you are here with your Bibles? Raise it up, let me see. Hallelujah. Wave it, let's make the devil mad a little. Hallelujah. Let somebody shout hallelujah. Yes. Because this is the night. Some of us are going to catch fire tonight. Now I know, like I've taught some of my children way back in 1978, there are categories of people. There are some people who are kerosene. There are some who are petrol. And there are some who are pure gas. So when we begin to catch fire, we'll catch it in various degrees. One thing I know is that the only fellow who will not catch fire today here is the one who is not ready to do the will of God. And that fellow will catch another kind of fire. Because even if you are water here today, fire is going to come down. And like he did on the Mount Carmel, it's going to consume water too. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, every bond in your life will be broken. Even if they are made of brass. Because the Bible tells us in Psalm 107, verses 15 and 16. Psalm 107, verses 15 and 16. The Bible says, "Oh, that man will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder." It doesn't matter what the yoke in your life is made of. the power of God will destroy today.
Amen.
And then, when the Holy Spirit has set you free, like he's going to do tonight, it is not for you to run from the enemy. Pay very close attention to what I'm saying. Because to many people, we come to Abuja just for a crusade. I will share this one with you in secret. We've come to Abuja to liberate Nigeria. We came last year, and Abuja has never been the same. We are here again, and things will get better. I'm sure the reason the Lord asked us to come the second time is because we didn't complete the job last year. When Samson got free, he didn't run from the enemy. No, he stood up and began to fight. And the Bible said clearly, God proved himself like he had promised before. He said, one of you will chase 1,000. Now Samson didn't chase 1,000, he killed 1,000. I like that. Because 1,000 didn't run. If they moved, he would have left them. But they stayed to fight. So he wiped them out. After 1,000 died, the rest took to their heels. That's why he killed only 1,000. The rest ran. Now, if one will chase 1,000, God said two will put 10,000 to flight. From the little mathematics that I know, if one will chase 1,000 and two will put 10,000 to flight, then we are no longer talking of arithmetic progression. We are talking of geometric progression. Forgive me for doing that. But once a mathematician, forever a mathematician. After all, you heard the professor now talking about drag and and drag coefficient and so on and so forth. You may not understand what that means. That doesn't matter. At least you know that Jesus is Lord. But you see, what I'm trying to say is this. If one will put 1,000 to flight and two will put 10,000 to flight, it follows that three will put 100,000 to flight. And four will chase 1,000,000. Can you imagine how many millions we will all chase tonight? Brethren, if you are willing to cooperate with the Holy Spirit tonight, we can wipe out every demon left in Nigeria today. How many of you will be willing to cooperate? Come on, shout hallelujah. Samson's true to fight. He didn't run. Because the fire that came upon him gave him that assurance that he will never be a loser again. And the Bible tells us, let me read it to you, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children. How many of you are of God? Say amen.
Amen.
Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That is written about who? About me. The Bible says greater is he that is in me, greater is he that is in Adeboye. Say it loud and clear if it is true of you. Than he that is in the world. Samson didn't run. Like I told you yesterday, he didn't run from the lion. That's why he was able to overcome the lion. And I told you yesterday, you are not made to run. Because there's no defense for your back. There's no piece of armor for your back. You run, the enemy will get you. You're to stand and fight, not against human beings. No, we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We are fighting against principalities and powers. And we cannot use human weapons to fight against them. Bows and arrows are human weapons. Guns are human weapons. But we have weapons that can melt iron. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the consuming fire. We're going to turn the tide against the enemy. He stood. The enemy that did not run died. He slew 1,000. And the Almighty God is expecting us to use whatever we have. Maybe just our tongues. This we can pray. If there's nothing else you can do, you can pray. And I've seen prayer do marvelous things. I mean, I remember when I was a lecturer at the University of Lagos. And I had a group, a little group of students who were very close to me. And we used to study the Word of God together. And one of the things I taught them is this. There is no barrier that prayer cannot break down. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. So one day, they heard that the secret court in the university wanted to riot. And they wanted to burn down the bank, the bookshop, and everything they could lay their hands upon. They had already bought petrol and every other thing they needed. And one of them said, hey, daddy has gone home now. What are we going to do? The other said, but he taught us. Whenever there is trouble, we should pray. He is not God. God is here. So they locked themselves in the room and they started praying. And meanwhile, the members of the cult also gathered themselves together, waiting for midnight to begin their work. And they were drinking ogogoro to get themselves charged. And the children of God were praying. And the cult members all fell asleep. When they woke up, it was morning. And when they woke up, they started quarreling. And they were quarreling with their leader. What kind of leader are you? You fell asleep on duty. And the leader said, what kind of assistance are you? You are supposed to help me. And they fought themselves and threw away the petrol, and that was the end of the riot. That's what God called us upon to do, to fight battles with prayer. That's why we are here. Not only for God to set you free, but to take your eyes off your little problems, because that will be burnt by fire anyway, and face the bigger problem. There are more than enough people here to set Nigeria free tonight. Amen. If we cooperate with God, let me hear your amen again. The jawbone of an ass, with that he killed 1,000. Why? Because it's not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit of the living God. And then suddenly something happened. After he destroyed 1,000 of the enemy, suddenly he became thirsty. I don't know if you have ever wondered about that aspect of the story. He became thirsty. And he said, God, what is happening? I have just won a great victory, and am I going to die of thirst? And then the enemy again will take the victory. God said, no, I've not finished with you. The jawbone that destroys your enemy can also provide you the water to drink. Amen. Meaning what? Number one, God will never do his work by halves. After this Holy Ghost festival, your life will never be the same again. Amen. God is going to do a thorough job this time. The work he has started last year is going to finish this year. Amen. That whenever God gives you victory, he will give you satisfaction also. Amen. Each time he said, come to me and drink, he will always say, after you have tasted this thing, the water I'm going to give to you to drink will become a well springing up. So many of you are going to have a second baptism today. Amen. But that's not going to be the end. That's going to be the beginning. From time to time, as the choir is worshiping, all of a sudden the power will come down again and you get a fresh baptism. From time to time, in the privacy of your room, as you are worshiping God alone, the fire will come again. So that the next time I see you, I don't know where it will be, you will, anybody looking at you will know that you are on fire. Amen. Because somebody once asked, what is the secret? Why is it that some people are hot today and they are cold tomorrow? And some people are hot today and they are hotter tomorrow. He says, sir, what is the secret? The secret is continuous baptism of fire. When one fire is about to go down, pour petrol. Then jump up again. Even before it begins to go down, pour another petrol. And that is what God wants to do for us. Amen. Healing is good, he's going to do that. Deliverance is great, he's going to do that. But I've told you again and again, there is something greater than being blessed. And that is becoming a blessing. Something greater than receiving a miracle. That's becoming the channel by which others will receive miracles. That's what I want. That's what I want my life to be. I told you yesterday, I said the power of God will come upon you so mightily, you will go in the marketplace, somebody will bump into you and get healed. Yeah. Only a few people said amen to that. Yeah. Because they don't, all they wanted is, all they wanted is, pastor, just let me get my healing, and let me just have my baby, let me get the promotion I want. No, that's not enough. That's not enough. You can have all the money in the world, it doesn't satisfy. Ask the millionaires. They are more frustrated than you. I know what I'm talking about. You would think that if somebody has 10 million in the bank, he will be satisfied. No. When he has 10 million, he'll be thinking of somebody who has 100 million. He said, but I heard that some people are billionaires. He said, wait a minute, my millions are only in Naira. Some people who have millions in dollars. Money doesn't satisfy. You should know that by now. And let me tell you the truth. Even children don't satisfy. Doesn't matter how many of them you have. The elders have a say. You don't rejoice over your children until you are dead. Because it's the one who is buried by his children who can claim that he has children. So where is the joy? Do you get satisfaction from a car? No. I mean, you buy it today, you rejoice, but tomorrow it is second hand. Build the biggest house in the whole world. You won't get any satisfaction from that. The bigger the house is, the more frustrated you are because you can only sleep in one room at a time. But there are some things that satisfy, brethren. To lay hand on the sick and see them recover. Lay hand on the barren and see them conceive. Wave your hand and demons begin to run. I'm telling you, that satisfies. I mean, the first time I prayed for one lame fellow and the lame began to walk, I was happier than he. He was jumping up because God had healed him. I didn't know where to jump. If I had my way, I would have been rolling on the ground for joy. There's something that satisfies. And that's coming today. Yeah. Upon every one of you. Yeah. But it's going to cost you something. That's why I say only those who are willing to cooperate with God will catch fire tonight. For you to be able to receive this baptism of fire that I know my Father wants to give tonight, the first thing you must do is that you must forgive everybody who has offended you. What did I say? And I tell you the reason why. I had a friend. Well, I still call him a friend. Who joined the army because he wanted to lay his hand on the machine gun so he could come out and kill his father. But when he got into the army, he thought that the day you enter into the army, they will give you a gun. And he got into the army, they scraped off his head. And they drilled him until he was almost a zombie. By the time they gave a gun to him, he wasn't ready to kill anybody anymore. If God baptizes you with fire, if the power we are talking about comes upon you, and there are enemies out there, unforgiven, you will kill. You will misuse the power. Because the kind of power God wants to release tonight is similar to the one that Elisha had. Thank you. Don't be surprised that only a few people are yelling. I've told you there are kerosene and petrol and gas. So I can see the gas all over now. Elisha wasn't fully aware of the power upon him. As he was going up, and those children came and started saying, "Bald head, go away, bald head." He just told her, I said, "Me? You call me bald head? I curse you in the name of Jesus." Well, of Jehovah. And before he finished, 42 of them were dead. We are talking of power, brethren. And I'm not joking. Anything that I'm involved in, better take note from now on. There's no joking about it. I'm too old now to be joking. We had a program at Afar Balewa Square last week, Friday. Many of the people went there for fun, for jamboree. They thought we were going for a joke. Oh, daddy's going to preach. Let's go. We will sing, we will dance. When they got there, they knew, they discovered. Because I said the title of the program is Battle of Gods. They didn't pay attention to battle. They were just going for fun. When they got there, they discovered that, we are here to fight. Thank God we won. I say we won. So everything I'm saying tonight, brethren, don't think I'm joking. I might be talking, you might have been laughing, you might think that this is sweet talk. No. I'm dead serious. It's just my nature that I don't know how to shout like the evangelist. Maybe if I had shouted very well, you would know I'm serious. But I'm very serious, you know. Absolutely serious. As serious as my father. You know, my father never shouts. Just say, "Let there be light." Because there's no way you can walk out of here the way you came in. There is no way. No way, no way. No way, no way at all. So please, it doesn't matter what the fellow out there did to you. Forgive. Otherwise, you will have so many people to bury. So just forgive them. Let them go. Overlook whatever they've done. You don't want to carry a bad memory that this fellow died after I received power. What you want to use the power for is for healing, deliverance, miracles, joy for others. That's the first thing you must do. The second thing, of course, that you must do if you're going to receive the power is for those of you who have not given your life to Jesus. You see, in Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, Acts 2, verse 37 to 39, Acts 2, verse 37 to 39, on the day of Pentecost, when the fire fell on the apostles, on the 120, and Peter preached his sermon. When he finished preaching, the Bible said, now when the crowd heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. What did he say? He said, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, that is including Nigeria, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The promise is unto you. As many as our God will call together. And he has called you together tonight. There are several people who heard about this meeting, but they are not here. And because they don't have a part of the blessing, that's why they are not here tonight. When some of them will come tomorrow, they will have a little bit of that of tomorrow. You see, last Friday at Afabaliwa Square, we were to have an all-night prayer meeting, Holy Ghost night, Battle of God. At 10 p.m., rain started. Afabaliwa Square was jammed with 67,000 people. All men, the big ones, they were sitting right there in the open. We hired 14,000 chairs. And the big ones were the people sitting there, those who are not too important were in the galleries and so on. So the rain started at 10. And it went on and on and on till 2 a.m. And it was time for me to come on stage. By now, everybody was soaked. Soaked. I mean, if the rain beats you for 4 hours, you are not likely to be dry. And just as I was about to come, I looked through the window of my prayer room, and I saw one man entering his car. All the other thousands stayed. And he was about to drive away, and I said, Father, please don't let him go. He's already soaked. The blessing now is about to really begin. Don't let him go. God said, let him go. He has no part in the blessing. He was already beaten by rain. He was already soaked to the skin. He came and left before the miracles began. You came. You stayed. Because God wants to give you part of the miracles of today. But you could come. You could stay. You could refuse to surrender your life to Jesus. And you still miss the blessing. The fire can burn. Everybody tonight will be charged with the power of the Most High God. Amen. People here tonight who experience the kind of thing they have never dreamt they will ever experience. Amen. And yet, if you do not give your life to Jesus, if you are not genuinely born again,